As 2016 was coming to an end, nearly 200 crosses appeared outside the Leawood Baptist Church.
Anthony Bell, Adrian Bell, Danny R. Beverly.
Each cross represented someone lost to homicide that year in the Kansas City Metro.
Mark Bivens, Jared M. Blake, Cherie Bland, Robert A. Blaylock, Charles Bolton, Charles Bradford, Miranda Bradford, Rocky Bradley, Jacob Brantner, Brene Brown, Gerald Brown, Tyra Brown, Clarence Buford, Joshua Bush, Michael L. Capps.
It was a staggering visual. Cars slowed down, some of them even honked. The number of crosses the pastor displays has gone up every year for all 5 years he's done this. And in 2016, Kansas City's homicide rate was the highest it had been in almost a decade. From a dot in the middle of the map, this is Midwesternish. I'm Gina Kaufman. In this episode, we're looking at the rising murder rate in 2016, and we're asking how to keep kids safe from violence.
Kansas City has a history of violence. And the type of violence we saw in 2016 is not unknown to Kansas City's history.
Jean Peters Baker has been the prosecutor for Jackson County, Missouri since 2011. And she says the violence of 2016 isn't random. It's part of a larger story.
In 2014, very late in 2014, a new town got put on the map for America. And that town was called Ferguson.
We're in Kansas City. We're not super far from Ferguson, but what does Kansas City seeing higher homicide rates in 2016 have to do with what happened in Ferguson in 2014?
I think homicide rates can often be linked to the legitimacy that community and police have with one another. And when legitimacy is in question and when it is in high debate, you will have higher rates of violence. There is absolutely every statistic will point to that as being true. That is part of what happened from this little town called Ferguson, that the rest of the world, the rest of the nation, began to question, do we believe in the legitimacy of our police departments? And you and I may have that debate one way. We may hear a debate about police legitimacy in one way. Those who already distrust police, those who are, it's not uncommon for them to pick up a gun to solve their disputes, they hear that debate quite differently.
So this is partly about not believing that there is an orderly resolution to conflict?
Yes, I think that's true. I also think that the ready availability of guns in this city, among other cities across the nation, is also part of the uptick. And you cannot look at that homicide rate of 2016 and not also look at, well, how many of those homicides were committed by what means? What was the tool?
Yeah, what's the answer to that question?
90% of those homicides were committed by a gun. So, you know, if you don't want to look at those numbers and actually honor those numbers, then, you know, you're forgetting it. There's one solution in there, or there's one problem in there that we all should address.
You spend time with victims' families, right?
Yes, quite a bit.
Can you describe what happens after, I mean, it's unimaginably horrible, but after a child is the victim of one of these crimes?
There's probably nothing worse. Part of my soul gets chipped away when a child gets struck by gun violence. And I know that's true about my entire community. And when I say my community, I mean my metro-wide community. It chips away at all of us. And so it is our jobs, our collective jobs, to make sure that children are safe.
Well, how do I, as a citizen, do that job? You know what I mean?
If you see a child in harm's way or you suspect a child is being injured and you don't do anything, then you should consider yourself one of those child's abusers. Take seriously your responsibility as a community member. Take seriously your responsibility to call the child abuse hotline and report suspected abuse of kids. And if you think that does not have an impact, then just try and remember, very recently in Kansas City's history, there was a little girl who someone called, an anonymous caller called that hotline and literally saved this little girl's life. She was in a horrible situation in her home. She was nearly starved to death by her mother. And that anonymous caller saved her life.
What had that caller observed that allowed them to kind of put two and two together well enough to make that call?
So that caller did not know for certain. That caller did not know for certain that this little girl were in harm's way. She believed the little girl was missing. And there were some stories about where the little girl was, that, oh, she was with her father. She was with another family member. And things didn't quite add up for the caller. So she simply contacted the hotline and reported what she did know, which led police to that apartment. And I will tell you, it still chills me to think about that story and to hear the accounting of that police officer who said, we were about to leave when we shouted out up a set of stairs, is anyone here? And a little voice behind a closet door said, I am.
You bring up the issue of domestic abuse and things that happen inside homes, private homes, that put children in harm's way. And the Kansas City Star reported on some serious issues within the Kansas City Police Department's Crimes Against Children Department. Briefly, what can you tell us about that?
Well, look, what I can tell you about that is that the Crimes Against Children's Unit within the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department has dramatically changed. They have dramatically improved their processes. And I know that from working with them, but I know it from this number. 176 Crimes Against Children's cases were filed from that unit during the year of 2016. The year before, only 62. So for us, that's a huge win.
So you think there's improvement? Because this is...
I know there's improvement. I know that.
When my son's life was taken in the way it was taken, I stepped into this new life.
Rosalind Temple of Mothers in Charge goes door to door with mothers who have lost children to homicide. She's trying to bring people face to face with the reality of violence, like the personal reality of violence.
When a person see a mother, and you know, I don't discredit fathers or anything, but just the love of a mother that you have for your child, then when you birth that child in this world, and then that person, you go door to door and knock on doors when a homicide, when a child has been taken, and you knock on the door with that mother or we're mother saying, we have experienced this. Could you please help us? Did you see anything? That person just looking in that mother's eyes and just the love for their mother, it just does something. It makes a difference. It really makes a difference.
Whose job do you think it is to keep children safe?
I think it's a community. It's definitely our responsibility, and I think it's it starts in our homes. It starts with families. You know, we see things. We can tell when things are not right in a household. Even as a neighbor community, you see children where they're not properly being taken care of. So it's us as a community and as families to speak up and help them children.
I guess I often can think of parents as victims just right alongside their children, even when it's the children whose life has been taken. I mean, you see a pretty clear responsibility on the parent's part, it sounds like.
Yes, I do. I know that a parent has issues. See, and it goes back to that parent. I don't know what they like their childhood was about. I don't know. But I just truly believe sometime a parent can give something that they don't have. And that's love. If you never really had true love and been shown love and been nurtured, you can't give what you don't have. So I do a lot of situations. Some parents I do look at and feel sorry for and say, you know, she didn't have that to give. But where was the responsibility of someone else around that family? seeing that, seeing that parent didn't have that ability to be that parent, to step in and say, hey, I want to help. If not, I can't give you help directly, I would choose to hotline you, because I believe it's learned behavior. It is learned behavior.
This Explain homicide, what you mean by that.
Violence is like a prosecutor said, you know, when children see their mother being abused, a lot of dysfunction, drugs, in and out, no rest, people coming in and out the house all times of night, different drug transactions. Children are very smart. They're curious. You know, I remember I was a child. You're curious, so you see things, so you look and you watch, and when your parents and you think your child is not watching, they are. So that's what I mean by learned behavior. You see things like that, and you think, oh, well, it worked for my parents. It looked pretty good. And then there we go.
Rosalyn, I want you to take us into the reality of the work you do. In August, you were called to a scene in the middle of the night near 58th and College. Three children were caught in the line of fire when gunshots were fired into their home, and two of those children, two young boys, were killed in the incident. Tell us that story from your perspective, what you encountered when you showed up there.
For instance, that crime scene was right around the corner from my house, and I couldn't believe it. So close, but I get there and see these parents out screaming, crying, police department doing what they do, the investigation. Come to find out one of the parents was my cousin. Getting him to the hospital, taking him down to Children's Mercy Hospital to be with his family, his wife, everybody. That was just... It was back and forth. So I was back out there on 57, just back and forth, just driving around, but trying to help these mothers and these fathers just screaming and hurting. And it took me back to where I was. To this day, right today, their homicide is still unsolved. How have we allowed these people to roam our streets some more? And they have took two innocent children's life. These are young boys. There were cousins in their home where they're supposed to be, where they should have felt safe. And you come and shoot up the house the way you did. We as a community have failed, because we know, we have to, someone know who pulled them triggers, who killed them children. So I'm saying they're staying in someone's home, these perpetrators. They're still roaming around our schools, our stores, our malls. They even had a Christmas and a New Year. We as a community and people, family members, have failed these children.
Courtney Carr is a therapist, and she specializes in the trauma of homicide. She says that for too long, we've been asking the wrong questions.
We're looking at a lot of different things that create a whole picture. We're looking at generational trauma. We're looking at individual trauma. We're looking at distrust within the law enforcement. We're looking at a culture cultivated within a community where it is, we do not tell our business and we don't snitch.
Okay, elaborate on that one a little bit. I mean, people are familiar with that concept, I think, but that sounds in some ways like an after the incident kind of problem. And it sounds like you're saying that it actually is a cause of the problem.
It's a cause. It is a start. It's everything. We grow up in households where everything that happens stays in this household. It does not leave this household. You do not tell the business. And then that outreaches to the community.
You're saying we.
We, as in, I speak of the community that I'm from, as more so in the African-American community. I grew up in the community in Midtown, 29th in Cleveland. And that is how I was raised. And that is how everyone I know was raised. And the problem that we're seeing is that what everyone has said today, but also a lack of education and identification. We're not identifying these life situations as trauma. We're not identifying these situations as things that impact not only how we interact with others, but how we think and how we respond and how we solve conflict. All of these things happen and they interact together, and then we see the huge picture. Things become normal. It becomes normal to hear gunshots in the community. It becomes normal to hear police sirens. These are actually traumatic events. It becomes normal to hear yelling and screaming and fighting. This is not normal, but it becomes normal, and it's not identified as a problem.
You were talking about, you know, that this idea of not snitching or that kind of thing is a part of the issue. But you're also talking about that there are sort of deep causes for the kinds of behaviors that contribute to the problem. From a place of empathy and compassion, I mean, what can we understand about why people don't want to share what's going on in their households, why people don't want to reach out for support or name what it is they're going through when they experience trauma?
Some of it is the normalcy. This is normal, so why would I say anything about it? And then some of it is lack of trust. And so when we speak of community helping or how can I help, we have to first be able to identify what's going on. Oftentimes we don't ask the right why question. And when I say why, when we look at kids specifically, we see kids who often have tantrums or acting out. We see anger, we see aggression, and we label them a bad kid. But what we're not asking is why, in the sense of what happened to you. Some of it is learned behavior, and some of it is I don't know any other way to express my emotion. And we're not asking the right questions, and we're not identifying the right behaviors.
Tasha Hayes, Shane Hedges, Messiah Henderson, Anna M. Higgins, James L. Hill, Korea Hill, James L. Hines, Hubert A. Holmes, Leslie Jacobson, Desmond Jenkins, Brandon Johnson, Keith Johnson, Charles Jones, Deontay Jones, Derek Jones, Freddie Jones, Isaiah N. Jones, Cedric Jones, Anthony Kind, Merrill Kitchen, Gerald Knighton, Brad Lancaster,
Midwesternish is produced by Matt Hodapp and Sylvia Maria Gross. Andrea Tud Hope worked on this episode too. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. These stories come from a daily show on Kansas City's public radio station, KCUR 89.3. If you want to check that out, it's called Central Standard, and you can find it at kcur.org. I'm Gina Kaufman. Thanks for listening.